Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
From Barangaroo Studios, the AusBiz COB is the key stuff you need to know about the day in business and finance.
Welcome to the COB. It is the 19th of January. I'm Nadine Blaney, here with David Scott. Scotty, good day?
It's been a great day.
Oh, good.
How's your day been?
Pretty good. And if the market has anything to do with it, you know, great day, really. Surprisingly strong, you've got to say. We had no lead in from the US, which we well know. And I know that you've been saying that often when we are absent of a lead, we start to see these markets drift higher. But there were, you know, a lot of supportive stories out there here in Australia, one of which was being Goldman Sachs sort of upgrading of the banks, lifting price targets, and a bit of PE M&A as well.
Exactly right. So, of course, we saw what's going on with the banks, Goldman Sachs in particular, a lot of price target upgrades there. It's almost as if the brokers have come back this week after the break and just saying, oh, upgrade, 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 upgrade. And you mentioned off the top that we obviously had the public holiday in the United States in the long weekend. So volume's naturally a bit lower as well. And this sort of combined along with that M&A with Cleanaway. Not Cleanaway.
Bingo.
Bingo, yeah. I've been watching that so much of the day, moving lockstep. But Bingo, I know, got lobbed that takeover offer. And we could see that combined to a very, very nice gains today.
Yeah, we chatted with Martin Crabb, who is CIO at Shaw & Partners, late in the session. That'll be online shortly. But yeah, he was just talking about the massive amount of money that is out there right now, looking for yield, looking for return, perhaps a little bit more high risk. So these PE companies are coming in, you know, above, I guess, the offers that they would normally be putting in. You know, they're finding these companies and making offers based on, you know, future growth, as opposed to perhaps what was done in the past, which was get companies that were in need of a repair and then, you know, reselling them or refloating them.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I'm not sure that I'll be putting my money with a PE firm that's looking to go and buy and pay way overs for something that may grow in the future, but each their own.
Yeah, well, you know, VC, if we could have some of that money pouring into new innovation. Anyways, I digress. Okay, but to the bank's point, we spoke with Lipman and Bergman and Partners, Alex Pikoulis, and he is the CIO there. And he was just, you know, he just set out his case for how you know, the bull market will continue in 2021, and some of that has to do with the banks and the cyclicals, because he sees stronger growth coming through this year. Anything to disagree with in there, Scotty?
Oh, not particularly. The backdrop is quite conducive, but it has to be said as well that there's a lot of good news that's already been factored into these markets to say that it hasn't been well. So it definitely has. Like, we know vaccine rollout, we know fiscal stimulus, we know monetary policy stimulus is all in place. We know that earnings are lucky to recover. So we know those things. There's a lot of things that we don't know. And of course, there can be things in that aren't good news as well.
Yeah, aren't good news. But you know, if we do get a bit of bad news or a bit of knee-jerk reaction to headlines, a bit of disappointment in earnings season, maybe we see a little bit of a pullback. That would be the sign of a, or could inspire, a healthier bull market. Is that a fair comment?
Absolutely. I've been watching markets for bit over two decades now, and yeah,
and you still look spring chicken.
I've seen plenty of bull markets and bear markets and various asset classes over that time. Doesn't really matter which one it is, but the one thing that's really common with those really long sustaining ones is that you get pullbacks, you get opportunities for the market to breathe, the rally to breathe, and of course that means that in pullbacks you can go and get fresh people, fresh eyes, more investment opportunities, and people buy back in that. Organically goes and keeps the market rolling. I'd much rather go and see that than just some breakneck rally that just keeps going and going and going without a pullback. That's unsustainable and often leads in tears and a very, very substantial decline. So for the longevity of this bull market globally, and you might not know it from the price action we've seen today, but certainly up until this point, this year, it's been pretty iffy, the price action. So I just wonder, might be the best thing for the other bull market might be a correction.
We will see. And have your shopping list ready. To talk some stock picks, Alex Pakulis does mention a few companies that he favors in this a bull market cycle that we're in. And we also got a few interesting companies mentioned by Heath Moss. He is equities director at HLM Investments. Look, we've been asking everybody, is there still puff left in this retail trade? Because, you know, we had Harvey Norman hitting highs today. We've had these upgrades coming from JB Hi-Fi, bunch of broker upgrades on super retail in the wake of its guidance that was provided yesterday. And look, Scuddy, I know you don't necessarily agree, but the consensus seems to be so far that, yes, there is room left when it comes to these retailers, that the setup is just so good with savings, with stimulus, with jobs coming back, which Belinda Allen is looking for in the upcoming jobs read on Thursday. She's from CBA. And Heath Moss, I thought, brought up a good point, just saying, look, housing starts, housing sales are going through the roof. You know, everything's looking so hot in that market that, you know, people need to buy stuff to fill those buildings up as well.
Yeah, of course, we don't have any international arrivals at this point. We have had a lot of Australians come home as well, but I just point out that I know a lot of those people who are buying homes are people who are currently renting, so they might have a lot of stuff which they already own.
Yeah, maybe, but I think everybody when they move, well, actually, I didn't buy too much furniture, but there's always something. You're always spending money. It is going out one in one hand, out the other.
I know firsthand.
Yeah, we both do. All right, that's why we come to work every day with a smile on our face. Exactly right. All right. Look, there was plenty of interesting company moves today. Tyro, the best performer, up by 26%, coming out swinging, answering that short report, flagging, though, there might be a potential class action against the company. And still, all of its, its equipment, its transaction machines are not up and running. They will likely be by the end of the week. But Tyro was up by 26%. So that is the market voting with its money. We had Megaport. We spoke with the CEO, Vincent English, today. Look, they are saying that the Australian dollar is a bit of a headwind right now, but still looking at good growth in customer numbers and recurring revenue. And share price was beaten down a little bit, down about 1.5% today, but it was the stock of the day. That's my point. Stock of the day, Megaport. We spoke with Mark Moreland from Team Invest and Scott Phillips from The Motley Fool. Let's take a listen.
You know, I really like Megaport. It's probably too speculative for me to invest in or recommend to our members. But Bevan Slattery is an absolute guru and has got such a strong track record. You're nuts to bet against him actively, so I wouldn't be shorting it anytime soon. What I also like, I've talked about this before, it's that gym membership model where if everyone who actually joined the gym went at the same time, you couldn't move in the place. But of course, most people don't, or they go at different times or whatever. And so the gym gets to sell effectively more capacity than it can ever deliver. It's a really, really nice, really attractive business model. I like it a lot. If you're buying a kind of a speculative growth portfolio, you're buying it in a portfolio, I quite like the company. I don't know if you're buying it outright, not expecting it alone, given the current price, by the way, to go to the moon.
Even though it may sound like it's a good model, and it should be prospectively profitable, it isn't. And they haven't been, and they've lost money every year, and it's basically been accelerating. So they lost 20% of their equity last year, and the way they're making it up is through capital raisings. And the shares on outstanding have gone from 40 million to 152 million over about the 6 years since it's listed. I'd say they've had 6 years already. Now this is should be a reasonably capital light business, because what they're doing is they're contracting all the big data centers and so on, as Scott said, to buy capacity and then they're reselling it. Why haven't they made a profit in 6 years? Will they be dominant enough to have the network effects to make that happen?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it. Don't think that one's going in the portfolio.
Not for the time being. Obviously, a lot of, I know, focus on the growth outlook there and also the currency exposure as well for that company. Mm-hmm. So I want to keep an eye on ahead.
All right. And they do report. They put out their reporting date, February 10th, I believe it is. So, yeah, always good to check up at that stage of the game because, Scuddy, reporting season right around the corner. Are you excited?
Oh, I'm incredibly excited. I'm incredibly excited about the lack of sleep and everything else, but it's going to be fun.
I love it. Okay, so tonight, I think that what will really take a lot of the focus is Janet Yellen. So we'll be hearing from the former Fed, excuse me, chair and soon to be Treasury Secretary if all goes to plan. So the US dollar fiscal stimulus, she is going to authorize some big spending, says that we should. Interest rates are so low after all.
Yeah. Well, look, she's known for being dovish and I don't expect anything else but a dovish offering. The key question, of course, is how quickly and how big the package is that they can push through. It's no given that everything that I know has been put up in the headlines about that $1.9 trillion additional package will go and get through. There are some moderate Democrats who may not go and vote in the party ways. And of course, that's a good thing. You know, checks and balances, but let's hopefully we get the money out to who needs it as quickly as possible.
Okay, and tonight we have the EU current account. That's for November. Tomorrow we have the Westpac consumer confidence read for the month of January. So that will encompass that hard Brisbane lockdown. But, you know, it will encompass as well some good. We've had an improvement in the health outcomes in New South Wales in particular since that lockdown in the Northern Beaches around Christmas time and some of the breakouts in the western suburbs as well. So, yeah, always really important to get the read on consumer confidence.
Yeah, look, I expect to be very almost unchanged. I suspect it won't be a lot of movement because we've seen the ANZ Roy Morgan iteration of its consumer confidence reading and really been sitting just below our average levels. Of course, the Westpac one is above average at the moment. But there's plenty to feel optimistic about, relatively speaking, compared to other parts of the world.
Yeah. Okay. So we have yet another day of fantastic guests lined up as well. Kyle McIntyre from Fire Trail Investments is back. That's at 10:35 a.m. We have an ETF special coming up on the call. Andrew Whiteland from DP Wealth Advisory, Michael Wayne from Medallion Financial. Looking forward to that one. We'll be also chatting with the CEO of Hub24, Andrew Alcock. It was out with, some of an update on funds under management, assets under management, and it had a good day today. It was up by 8%. So we'll talk about, any further M&A potential for that company in 2021. And we'll also be speaking with the CEO of MYOB to talk about SMEs, why they're more optimistic this year. We'll no doubt be talking about the potential for insolvencies as well.
Looking forward to get a pulse of the small businesses of Australia. It's where most employers are located. So always good to get insights.
Okay. So, Scotty, shall we call it a wrap for this Tuesday, the 19th of January?
We'll call it a wrap. Limber up for a hump day and we'll see you all then.
See ya.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.